This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday, and today we're doing something a little different. Usually we bring you advice on how to cook with recipes, ingredients, techniques, and inspiration. Today we're going in the other direction, how not to cook. You are our guest. We are hoping you'll share your stories of cooking gone wrong. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Tell us about that dish that just didn't come out right, the mistake you made, the guess that you were hoping would work that didn't, the experiment that went horribly, horribly wrong. Hopefully there's a happy ending, and maybe you learned a thing or two from it. You can join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Back in January, we were talking about spices with Patrick O'Halloran, author of The Care and Keeping of Spices. Aaron in Stoughton called in to share this story.
A young wife, many years ago, very early in the marriage, knew that I liked meatloaf, got a recipe from her mother. Well, my new wife did not like the texture of celery, so she substituted the celery, 1 cup, for celery salt.
Hold on, one cup of celery salt?
Yes.
How was that?
I guess that would render that inedible.
It was pretty much inedible, but it was something that we can still laugh about.
I bet. I hope so.
There's a story like that in my family, but I think the meatloaf went flying across the room and hit the wall.
I think a lot of us have stories like that. You could share yours at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Got an email from Leon who writes, when I first cooked scrambled eggs, I used to wait until all the egg liquid turned solid before turning off the heat. The result, near burnt or crusty eggs. Then I met my nephew-in-law 10 years later who was studying at a culinary school. He told me it's a good practice to retain some of that liquid to ensure fluffier and tastier scrambled eggs. Sure enough, the magic worked. Nowadays, people line up for miles to try my cooking. I even perfected omelets after years of failure, all thanks to my nephew-in-law's mad skills. So there's one with a happy ending, though my daughter, I don't know, I think she still likes them this way. She would cook her own eggs, and she wanted them brown and a little crispy. Yeah, nobody else in the house liked it. But how about you? What is your cooking story gone wrong? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Couldn't find the audio for this one. We did something like this years ago, and somebody called in with the story of when they were doing a fondue at home for the first time, and they were doing a chicken thing where you dipped it, I think, in hot cheese. And so she put the raw chicken on the skewers and dipped it in the cheese, thinking, I guess, the heat of the cheese was going to cook the chicken. It did not. Fortunately, I think nobody actually ate the slightly warmed up cheesy chicken. Let's go to your calls at 800-642-1234. Tim joins us in Milwaukee. Hi there, Tim.
Hello.
Hi, what's your story?
This was not something I did. This wasn't something that I did. It was a friend of mine's mother who, even later, known for her culinary skills, but she had just gotten married and her in-laws were, she cooked dinner for them for the very first time. And while they're having a cocktail, she heard these funny noises from the kitchen, sort of a boom, 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 boom. Well, it was the potatoes exploding because she hadn't cooked it before. So she made twice mashed or twice baked potatoes out of them.
Oh, good. We got a happy ending out of the story there, too. Tim, thanks a lot for getting us started. Thanks for sharing that at 800-642-1234. Scott joins us now in Spring Green. Scott, hi.
Hello.
What's the story,
quickly,
Scott?
The story is my folks, very young, newlyweds, the first thing that my mom cooked included a dessert, which was chocolate pudding. And my mother unknowingly scalded the milk for the chocolate pudding, served it up with pride to Dad. And Dad said, oh, what is this? This is terrible.
Oh, no.
And Mom proceeded to run into the bedroom crying.
Oh, no.
And but the outcome is they're celebrating their 63rd wedding anniversary to each other. So they're still alive and happily married.
Wonderful, Scott. Well, and you came along too. Thanks a lot for sharing that. Yeah, scalded milk. I don't think there's anything good about that. This is why I don't make a lot of pudding. Like that, you got to keep stirring and stirring and stirring. Thanks for sharing that story, Scott. We've got Ryan now in Sun Prairie. Ryan, hi. What is your cooking gone wrong story?
Hi, yeah, good day. Yeah, when I was in Boy Scouts, we were on a camping trip one weekend, and my buddy was making tacos, and he read the 3/4 of a cup of water on the pack as 3 to 4 cups. So we had taco soup instead of taco meat.
How did you? That doesn't sound very convenient for camping to me. Did you have bowls and spoons?
Yeah, we, you know, probably didn't have big enough bowls for soup, but you know, you got through.
You make do. Ryan, thanks a lot for sharing that at 800-642-1234. We are taking your stories of cooking gone wrong, mistake, bad outcome, maybe a lesson learned. You could join in at 800-642-1234. We got some stories from our colleagues here on Central Time. Beatrice writes, I once saw a TikTok that claimed you could make homemade Cheez-Its by baking cheese in the oven. So I took some deli sliced cheddar, cut it into 1-inch squares, punched a hole in the middle of each, very important, and threw them in the oven. When I took it out, it was, surprise, a puddle of cheddar cheese. Apparently, Cheez-It crackers are mostly made of flour. Beatrice says, lesson, don't believe every recipe you see on TikTok. Good lesson to take out of that. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Monique is with us in Plainfield. Monique, hi.
Hi. I actually have two stories. My favorite one from when I was fairly new to cooking. I knew that you poked potatoes to know when they were done when you were boiling. And so my assumption was that you do the same with eggs.
Oh, no.
And so the eggs never got done because I continued to poke them, and they were always hard. Once I got very comfortable in the kitchen, my younger sister called me one day because she decided she wanted to make a Thanksgiving dinner, and she wanted to know how long to cook her turkey. I asked her how many pounds was her turkey, and she said, oh, I don't know, about 78. So I told her she needed a much bigger oven.
78 pound?
She thought that her turkey weighed 78 pounds.
Wow, I don't want to meet that turkey in the wild.
Right? I told her she needed a bigger oven.
Interesting. I hope it was like maybe 7.8 pounds. I don't know. Monique, thanks a lot for sharing those. I love it. I'm just glad you didn't poke the eggs too early in the pot. And then, yeah, you know what happens next. Karen joins us now in Rice Lake. Karen, hi, what's your story?
Hi. When I was first learning to cook just after getting married, I tried making gravy, and I just kept adding flour to the skillet, and it didn't seem to be thickening up right away, so I added more and more flour. And finally, I ended up with about a 3-inch rubber ball in the middle of the skillet.
Did you serve it up, or did you just toss it out?
My husband looked over my shoulder and said, that's not how my mom does it.
Well, maybe his mom could have taught him to make it. Did you tell him that? That's what I think.
Yeah, I think that would have been a good idea.
Karen, thanks a lot for sharing that with us at 800-642-1234. We've got Sarah with us now in Green Bay. Hi there, Sarah.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my phone call.
What's your story, Sarah?
I was a new mom, and I had a little toddler outside. We were playing, and I had put eggs on the stove to boil, and I forgot about them.
Oh, no.
And the next thing I knew outside, I heard this popping, strange popping noise, and it still didn't connect as to what it was. And all of a sudden, it connected. I ran inside. The water had gone down to the very bottom of the pan, and the eggs were exploding out of the pan, hitting the ceiling, and I had smoke, raw, like gross smoke, egg everywhere.
Egg smoke. Oh, yeah, a little brimstone sulfur smell around. How long did it take for that smell to go away?
Oh, a good probably week to almost 2 weeks.
Well, you're outside gardening, so it must have been nice weather so you could open up. Sarah, thanks a lot for sharing that story. We are taking your calls, your stories of cooking gone wrong, famous cooking mistakes, maybe ones you hopefully still laugh about to this day. You could join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We are taking your stories of cooking mistakes, kitchen experiments gone wrong. You could join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We asked around here at WPR on the Central Time team. Rochelle Wilson shares this story.
So there's an infamous kitchen disaster story in my relationship, and I did get permission to share this on air. In the early days of dating, my partner was not a very good cook. One night, I requested that he make pesto pasta with zucchini. He went and got the supplies and came back and made the dish. Only what he served me was a bowl of pasta with hot, soggy cucumbers. Yes, cucumbers. Not only had he grabbed the wrong vegetable at the store, but he went ahead and chopping, cooking it, not thinking anything of it. I love cucumbers and pickles, but this was almost inedible. I still give him grief about it to this day. During the pandemic, he took up cooking, and now he's a great home chef who makes some of my favorite meals around, but he'll never live the cucumber fiasco down.
Back to your calls now. We've got Jim with us in Platteville. Jim, hi.
Hey. Yeah, Rob. I had a little cooking disaster go wrong. I was making a homemade pizza, and well, I had the Italian sausage and the dough all made and everything, and I thought, you know, some mozzarella cheese would go well. Mm-hmm. So I looked in the freezer and I grabbed a package of shredded mozzarella. So I sprinkled it all over the top of it and put it in the oven, waiting for my wife to come home, and I was so proud of myself. And I opened up the oven when it was about done, and something didn't smell quite right. And it wasn't melting quite right. Well, lo and behold, here it wasn't shredded mozzarella. It was coconut. And lo and behold, the pizza didn't taste so well. So
you did try it, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did a little bit, but it wasn't any new invention or anything. You know, it went in the garbage. But, yeah, we still talk about it today.
I bet. Jim, thanks a lot for sharing that story. I know people argue about pineapple on pizza. Maybe that's as far as we can take tropical fruit on our pizza. Thank you so much for sharing that, Jim. We've got Ellen with us now in Birchwood. Ellen, hi.
Hi. I was in about junior high or high school when I thought I'd do a little baking at home when my parents were gone. And I didn't realize that confectioner's sugar is different than granulated. So the frosting came out a little grainy, but my dad was supportive and ate it anyway.
See, I'm sure you are not the only person who's ever done that one, Ellen. I think a lot of people have swapped those for each other, and it'll still come out tasting okay, right?
Right, just you got to chew it a little bit more.
A little chew here. Ellen, thanks a lot for sharing that. We are taking your stories of cooking gone wrong. The famous story, maybe you still tell it to family and share it with posterity. You could join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Back to your calls. Leah is with us in Sauk County. Leah, hi.
Hi. Yeah, one of my famous stories is I was making my first pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving and didn't realize the pumpkin pie mix that I had used was already pre-spiced. And so then I went and added all the spices, like cinnamon and clove. And when I went to taste it, it about burned my throat out because it was so overspiced. So just always it comes up every Thanksgiving, but a good reminder to always read the can of pumpkin to see if it's pre-spiced.
That is great advice. Did you just like load up so much whipped cream to balance out, or was it a?
It was inedible. It burned your throat so bad. So, but luckily I had a spare actual pumpkin puree can in the back of the cupboard, so it was saved.
Oh, excellent! Good. Leah, thanks for sharing that. Reminds me an acquaintance of mine who was a pretty good cook actually. One time made a peanut stew, but the recipe was for unsalted peanut butter at the start. He didn't realize he had salted peanut butter, so he had the salt and then the more salt, And it was edible, but it was pretty salty. So very similar to that story, Leah. Thank you so much. Janice joins us now in Antioch, Illinois. Janice, hi, what's your story?
Oh, I've got two. The first one is when I was making popcorn on the stove, and I decided to run out to go get the mail, and on the way back, I started pulling weeds, and I forgot, and I came in the house, and it was smoke all the way from about 4 feet up to the ceiling. And then the second one was even better. I was making spaghetti for the family, and we had bantam chickens that had fleas, and I had put flea powder in the Parmesan cheese shaker, and somebody put it on the shelf, and then we spread it onto the spaghetti, and of course, it had to go out in the trash.
Oh, did people, like, what did flea powder spaghetti taste like?
Well, we didn't eat it.
Oh, good. Yeah, that could have had a bad ending. Janice, thank you so much for sharing that one. I think there's a lesson there in not storing not food things in containers labeled as food things. Awesome story. And with the burning popcorn, there is, of course, the famous story at WPR of a certain staffer who ignited, or at least made their tacos very smoky in the microwave. It did indeed set off the smoke alarms. Can we call her Keely B? No, that's too odd. K. Baltina. Yeah, that's good and anonymous, right? Back to your calls now. Hansa is with us in Madison. Hansa, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's your story?
So my parents had some friends, and the friends had a boat. And they all went out on the boat and had a great time and then came back to the house and had dinner. And my parents' friends cooked the dinner, and the wife made a beautiful glazed ham. And very shortly after eating through this meal, people became violently ill.
Uh-oh.
And it turns out that the wife thought that a jar of motor oil was molasses, and she had glazed the ham with the motor oil that her husband had brought back from the boat.
Oh, no. Wait, didn't it taste, you know, like it was ham glazed in motor oil? Like, didn't that tip people off?
Everyone was so blasted drunk that they were in no position to even complain. They were just shoving food in their mouths. And yeah, one guy ended up in the hospital. He lived, but he had to have his stomach pumped. My parents were like, we are never eating with them ever again.
Oh my God. Well, I'm glad everybody ended up okay. Yeah, it tastes a little smoky today, but I guess it's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Wow. Okay, hold on. Yeah, I guess our producer, Colleen, who's taking your calls, is kind of losing it with laughter. Okay, we're going to hold it together. We are taking your calls with food experiments, food gone wrong, kitchen mistakes, and more. You could join in at 800-642-1234. It's going to be hard to top flea powder and motor oil, but you could try. We've got Roy calling on the road. Roy, hello.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon. So, yeah, mine's not so funny to me anyway.
Uh-huh.
It's more of a safety thing. So even though I was in my 60s at a hotel, you know, limited protein options, and I'm not a big fan of hard-boiled eggs, but, you know, they had them, so I brought them to the room and cooked them in a microwave and took a bite, and it exploded in my face.
Oh, no.
And I got partial burns around my mouth and around my eye a little bit. Nothing to go to, you know, just first aid took care of it.
But, okay.
Yeah, it was my first experience of that. So anybody that doesn't know this, like I found out the hard way, please cut a boiled egg in half before you put it in the microwave so it doesn't. The yolk basically steamed up, got built up pressure around and underneath the white of the egg that solidified. So.
That is great advice. Yeah. I worry about harming myself with the microwave too sometimes. You get that pocket of super heat. You know, the hot pockets or whatever, you don't want that cheese burn, certainly. Thanks for sharing that, an important safety lesson there, Roy. I will go now to Helen in Manitowoc. Helen, hello.
I'm good. I mean, hello there. my experience was with smoke also. I was making beef vegetable soup, and I started the bones and put them on a kettle on my electric stove in a big kettle, not a soup kettle, but a heavy bottom thing. And threw my daughter in the stroller and went downtown to Crazy Days for a couple hours. But I thought I had turned it down to low to let it simmer, but I hadn't. So it stayed on high the whole while I was gone. When I came back, there was smoke just quietly flowing down the edge of the pan and across the top of the stove and down to the floor, just a layer of smoke. And I quietly went over and or carefully went over and just shut the burner off and went back outside because I was afraid. It smoked up the curtains, the drapes so bad in the house that they never lost the smoky smell.
Wow.
The neighbor downstairs invited us for supper that night. And my husband was a little upset, but my mother-in-law bought me a new kettle.
Excellent. Helen, thanks for sharing that with us. Time for, I think one more. Chris is with us in Madison. Chris, hi.
Hi. So I have a funny story. I worked at a real nice restaurant that served prime rib. And I was a new cook there, but I came into my shift and put the prime rib in. A couple hours later, my coworker comes in and he looks at it and he said, that doesn't look like prime rib. And I was like, Oh, I think that's a New York strip loin.
Oh no.
So that evening we sold slow roasted New York strip loin instead of prime rib, but we did sell out and it ended up working out fine.
Oh, good. You got to keep the job, Chris?
I did.
Excellent. Well, it's good to know sometimes even the pros go wrong. Thank you so much, everybody. So many great stories to share when it comes to bad cooking. And the great thing is so many of you called in. I didn't have to share any of my cooking gone wrong stories. And I've got a few. Hey, you can keep sharing your stories. You could email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Still time to participate in Food Friday's Cooking Gone Wrong experience. Email ideas@WPR.org. Coming up Monday on The Morning Show with Kate Archer-Kent, dig into a key moment in the politics of civil rights in U.S. history with a look at Hubert Humphrey's efforts to pressure the Democratic Party to bring that issue onto their platform. Check that conversation out. Learn a key piece of American history. That's Monday morning at 7 here on the Ideas Network.